You know you've got a comeback in you. When you take the next step, you're going to make it count. For your career, for your family, for your life. You can earn a degree you're proud of with Purdue Global. Purdue Global is backed by Purdue University, one of the nation's most respected and innovative public universities. This is your chance. This is your opportunity. This is your comeback. Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
Are you on the hunt for a new home this spring, but don't know where to start? Fisher Homes is your solution. Your new home should reflect you from the front door to the kitchen and even your outdoor space. Start your journey by selecting your ideal home site, like in a cul-de-sac or that's tree-lined, and then choose from a variety of expertly designed floor plans. Bring it all together at our Lifestyle Design Center. Let Fisher Homes be your new home solution this spring and start making memories at fisherhomes.com.
Spectrum One is a big deal. You get Spectrum Internet with the most reliable internet speeds, free advanced Wi-Fi for enhanced security and privacy, and a free Spectrum Mobile Unlimited line with nationwide 5G included, all while saving big. For the big speed, big reliability, and big savings you want, get Spectrum One. Just $49.99 a month for 12 months. Visit spectrum.com/bigdeal for full details. Offer subject to change. Valid for qualified residential customers only. Service not available in all areas. Restrictions apply.
Well, hi, everybody, and welcome to Onward, my very first podcast on my very first episode on this, my 61st birthday. That's right. I am 60 wonderful years old, and it's hard for me to believe. Well, thank you for coming catching this wave with me. The goal is we will be together for about an hour at a time each week, and we'll share some human wisdom of hope, inspiration, and a little humor, a little comedy, a little love, people, just a little bit of love. You can send me your thoughts and questions by voice memo. And it took me a while to figure out how you do that. You make a voice memo on your phone and then you send it to me via email. And my email is onwardrosie@gmail.com. Once again, onwardrosie@gmail.com. And I will take your voice memos and we will answer some of them right here on this podcast. So, onward. My first conversation is with Sharon Gless, a true friend of mine. I love her. I love her. I love her. We became friends many years ago when I was doing a guest spot on Queer as Folk. And when they called and asked me, would you be on the show? I said, of course I will be on that show. And you must write in a kiss between my character and Sharon Gless. And I'm happy to say that they did exactly that. I kissed her and I've never been the same. That's all I can say. We've remained really good friends in each other's lives for the last 30 years, and I'm so grateful for it. I really am. She's the kind of friend who just shows up. I was in San Francisco and couldn't get out of the hospital with a friend who was quite ill. And 2 weeks we were stuck there, and one day there was a text on my phone. And she said, do you want some iced tea? On my text, I'm like, Glessie? She's like, yeah, you were crying so much last night on the phone, I knew I had to show up. And she did. She was sitting there outside of my room holding an iced tea and a Starbucks croissant. And she gave me the biggest hug and I cried like a baby. And she took control and got us a flight home on a ambulance plane. And she was amazing, I can tell you that. You know, if you're ever in need, Sharon Gless will show up for you. And she has shown up for me, and I will continue to show up for her because I truly, truly adore her. I really do. And I hope that you will too. So we're going to kick off this podcast with a good friend of mine, somebody who you know and love. I'll be back with Sharon Gless.
Are you on the hunt for a new home this spring? but don't know where to start? Fisher Homes is your solution. Your new home should reflect you, from the front door to the kitchen and even your outdoor space. Start your journey by selecting your ideal home site, like in a cul-de-sac or that's tree-lined, and then choose from a variety of expertly designed floor plans. Bring it all together at our Lifestyle Design Center. Let Fisher Homes be your new home solution this spring and start making memories at fisherhomes.com.
We went from normal life, healthy child to acute lymphoblastic leukemia, or B-cell ALL. The St. Jude team came up to get CJ via ambulance. Shortly after that, I noticed a rainbow. It meant that there was hope. We were driving into hope. To have hope is to have your child healthy, and we have that because of St. Jude.
You can help kids fight childhood cancer. Please become a St. Jude Partner in Hope today by visiting musicgives.org.
Had enough of those supplements that leave you feeling nothing? Symbiotica is your solution to great-tasting, all-natural supplements that actually work. Crafted with premium plant-based ingredients, their products have no seed oils, fillers, or toxins. Try them out and actually feel the difference today. Visit Symbiotica.com and use code IHEART for 15% off plus free shipping on your subscription order. Again, that's 15% off plus free shipping on your subscription order. Go to Symbiotica.com. C-Y-M-B-I-O. TIKA.com.
All right. Well, welcome to my first podcast of Onward with Rosie O'Donnell. You know how I got this name, Glessy?
No.
I was like, you know, I turned 60 and I'm looking around and going, what do I have to do? What have I left to do? What can I possibly, well, you know what? Throw everything that happened already out. And now from here onward.
I love that so much. I think I just programmed you into my life again because I'm about to turn 80.
I know, honey. Isn't that amazing?
And I need something to say when I make that turn.
That's it. Onward.
You know what I'm doing?
What are you going to be doing?
I'm doing something I always wanted to do. I'm crossing the Atlantic.
Crossing the Atlantic.
On the QE2, and I'm having all my friends meet me at the pier when I get to London.
Oh, my God. How wonderful is that going to be?
Is that the best? Got a fancy suite?
Yes. And is Barney going with?
No. I told him he couldn't come. And I thought, well, what if I can't move around? You know, what if something happens? So my friend Dawn says she'll come with me. But Barney's going to be, I said, I want him at the other end to be there to greet me. I want my own room. I just want everything all for me.
Good for you. Can you believe that you're going to be 80 and that I'm going to be 61?
I can't believe you're going to be 61.
It's hard for me to believe sometimes.
And 80, I mean, I know this as it's just a number. It isn't just a number. I've been around a long time, but I don't feel it.
You don't look it.
Oh, please. Yeah, I do. I just have a light on here.
No, you don't. Honey, you think that's the face of 80? Sharon Gless is the new face of 80. All these 80-year-olds are going to be jumping off a bridge. No, you look beautiful, and you always have. You always have. Oh. And at 80, I don't know how you do it. You defy the years.
Well, I'm still standing. So I'm going to do this. And thank you so much for that tip of Onward, because I don't need something to go forward. I just need my will, you know, my will and my soul. And
exactly.
And my dreams. My dreams have always sustained me.
Yeah.
So I think I have to get some new dreams.
That's important. When you were that little kid growing up in L.A., did you dream all this? When you were that little rich girl in the Hollywood royalty family?
Apparently, I dreamed it.
You did. You manifested it all.
It happened. Yeah. I did dream it. I didn't know how it would quite manifest, as you said, but I didn't dream of being in this industry. When I was dreaming it, I don't even know about television.
Really? It was all movies.
I do remember sitting in front of the TV row when TVs first came out,
mm-hmm,
with my nose pressed up against it and watching the Oscars.
Yes.
With that song, da 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 da. That's what they used to play to open the Oscars every year, and you'd see Grace Kelly and Elizabeth Taylor in these gorgeous gowns. And it was another world. It is, feel quite like that now. And I lived in L.A. where they had the Klieg lights, you know, going across the sky.
Right.
For the
yes.
premieres. And I used to sit out on the porch and watch it. And I didn't know quite how my dream would take form, but I knew
I wanted something special. And I've been very blessed.
Out of life.
Yes.
Out of life. Yes. You wanted something special.
Yeah, and I'm I was willing to put in.
Right.
You know, I didn't need things just handed to me. I wanted to do it. I wanted to work. I didn't know that I would have the good fortune I've had, but I knew how I'd want to feel. And that's very important to any of your listeners. If you have dreams, you don't need to know what it's going to look like, but you do know how you want to feel when you get it.
Hmm. So true.
It is true.
I always had the dream of show business the same way that you did. I didn't have a famous grandfather. I didn't know anyone in show business. I didn't really know how I was going to get to Hollywood. I hadn't been on a plane. You know, I dreamed this before I had been on a plane, you know, but I had a destination in mind. I had a place that I thought I really would end up in. It's not like I wanted to be in it. I just thought, oh, that's where I'm going. I'm going towards that.
We were just sitting here waiting for you, Rose. We were just sitting here waiting for you.
Right.
And that's the truth.
I wanted you to tell everyone who your grandfather was.
Oh, well, it wouldn't mean anything to anyone today, but...
Well, maybe it does.
Okay, his name was Neil S. McCarthy, because he has a son, another one. But he was Neil S. McCarthy, and he was, first of all, a very, very poor boy from Phoenix, Arizona. His father drove the stagecoach and was a raging alcoholic.
Wow.
But he went to law school. He put himself through law school, and he came to Los Angeles, and he ended up being the biggest, most famous attorney in the golden days of Hollywood. He was Howard Hughes' attorney, Cecil B. DeMille's, Louis B. Mayer's.
Yes.
And on and on.
And did these people like float in and out of your world? Did you ever see or were you around or was it all at the... No.
Mr. Hughes lived down the street from us, but I never saw him. My mother met him several times. She used to have to entertain him when Grandpa wasn't home. Mr. Hughes would come to the house. My mother'd have to entertain. He called them the brats.
Was he weird by then? Was he sort of out of it?
He just didn't like kids, I don't think. I never met him. I asked my grandfather what he was like. And my grandfather used an adjective. He was eccentric. That's all he would say.
Mm.
He was a very good, loyal attorney and would never tell stories.
Right.
They looked in my grandfather's safe at home for the final will. Remember when nobody could find the final will?
Yes.
They did find what they thought was the final will in my grandfather's safe. My grandfather had already died. But anyway, when Grandpa died, I was at his house. They had the thing, you know, after the funeral. And this huge gardenia tree, not a bush, but a huge gardenia tree had been delivered. And of course, being nosy, I just opened up the card and it just said, Howard Hughes.
Wow.
But my grandfather had a salad named after him that is very famous at the Polo Lounge. It's called the McCarthy Chop Salad.
Was he or your parents, either one of them, interested in you becoming an actress?
Never. No.
Not once.
No. I mean, I came from a family where they went to the theater, but you don't get on stage and perform.
Right.
It just wasn't done. It was a large hurdle for me to get over, but I believed so much that something wonderful was going to happen. I didn't know what form it would take, but as I said in my book, I was at my grandfather's house one evening. Everything was going wrong in my life, and he asked me to bring his car to Arizona, so I did, and I rear-ended somebody on the way in his car. It was just those times, you know.
Right.
And the first night I was there, his new wife said, what do you want to do with your life, Sharon? You're 26 years old. You have nothing to show for it. It's a little rough. I was quiet. She said, just say it. Just give it air. Just say it. It doesn't matter whether you think you can have it or not. What is it? And out of my mouth, with a few champagnes in me, I said, I want to be an actress. She said, so, do it. I said, I'm too old, Mary. I'm 26 years old. She said, I was under contract to MGM when I was your age, Sharon. She said, I was terrible. I only lasted a year, but you can have it. So what do you, I said, I can't because Grandpa is against me going into show business. Even though I was 26, I still did sort of what I was told by my grandparents.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I'm saying this hoping that people will hear this and have the permission to do this for themselves.
Mm-hmm.
So I said it out loud, and I was petrified to say it, but I did. I said, please don't tell Grandpa. She said, oh, I promise I won't. Next morning, your grandfather would like to see you. I go into his bedroom. He said, Grandpa, Mary said you wanted to see me. He said, yes, I do. That's ridiculous. I said, I asked Mary, please, not to tell you, Grandpa. I knew that's what you'd say. He said, I mean, it's ridiculous. You think I'd stop you.
Oh.
I said, really? I didn't want to quote what he'd said years ago, you know, about the business being filthy.
Right.
He said, so what are you going to do about it? And all of a sudden, Rosie, I was called to task. No one had ever asked me.
Yeah. Yeah. What's your plan, Stan?
I'm going to take acting lessons. He said, really? How much are those? Well, my cousin was an actress, and I knew what she'd paid for her acting lessons. Mm-hmm. And I think I said, they're $500 for 3 months. And I had nothing, bro. I was broke. My job I was in as a secretary, the company had folded.
Mm.
I'd just broken up a wedding engagement.
Wow.
You know, then my grandfather says, come and bring a car, and I run it into somebody else. It's just, you know, it's just everything I touched turned to shit.
Right.
And he said, so, all right, now you have $500. That was so much to me.
Right.
He said, so now what are you going to do? What are you going to do until you get this acting job? I said, well, I'm going to get another job. I'm a secretary. He said, fine, you want to go home today? I said, Grandpa, you invited me for 2 weeks, so I'm here to visit. He said, I'm asking you again, do you want to go home today? I'd been there one night.
Wow.
But my grandfather bred and raced thoroughbreds, Ro. And he knew when a filly was ready to run.
Mm.
But I'm asking you again, you want to go home today? I said, yes, Grandpa. He said, then have Mary get you a ticket. And as I flew over L.A., Ro, from Arizona, I looked down at L.A. and I knew I didn't have a great body or a great face or anything, but I knew I would not fail.
You were certain.
I was certain. I didn't know how I was going to do it.
Yeah.
But my grandfather said, go for it. And I guess I just needed somebody's permission to do what I wanted.
Right.
And a year later, I was under contract.
Yeah, a year later. And it's a great story from your book. Apparently, there were complaints. And when you told me that title, I almost peed myself laughing. But it's a wonderful book. And I mentioned it. It's a wonderful story. We're not going to give it away here, but go buy the book and read it. But listen, I had that certainty too as a kid. I didn't understand how it was going to happen or what was going to happen. But like in high school, everybody signed my high school yearbook saying, say hi to Johnny Carson. I was like, oh yeah, I'm going to be on the Johnny Carson show. I'm going to be an actor. I'm going to be, like, I wanted to be Barbara Streisand or Bette Midler.
I know you did.
And, you know, Barbara talked like me. She sounded like me. I mean, not her singing voice, obviously, but she, you know, she looked and sounded like someone I would know from New York, you know?
Yeah.
And Valerie Harper did that for me too, that she was Rhoda and I was a kid at home watching it going, I could be that. I could totally be that, you know?
You're an inspiration. I love you verifying that story and telling your own because people need to know dreams really can come true. They really can.
Exactly.
You don't have to know what it's exactly going to look like, but you do need to know how you'll feel when you get it.
Right. In those old days of showbiz, boy, it's not like it was. You
no.
know, you climb the mountain and then you get there and you go, wait a minute. I thought, honestly, Glessie, and this is the truth, that there would be a party every weekend at Barbara Streisand or Bette Midler's Malibu Mansion, and we'd all be invited, and we'd all sing. And now, the closest I've ever come to that is going to Liza Minnelli's parties that she used to have when she was in New York, and all her furniture was white, and all the drinks you could have had to be clear because she didn't want anything staining her furniture.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah, and all these Broadway and showbiz legends were there, and there was a piano player, and everybody got up and sang. And it was pretty much what I had dreamed of show business, you know?
Just like you created it, Ro.
Yeah.
Just like you created it in your mind. Do you know that, I don't know if this is in my book, but I was shy. I know people who know me say, really? But I was afraid to go to Hollywood parties.
Yeah.
You know, I just thought I don't have anything to say to all these fancy people. And I said in the interview, someone in my heyday said, so you must get invited to a lot of Hollywood parties. And I said, no, actually, nobody invites me to parties. And Do you remember Fred McMurray?
Yes, of course.
Right. He was a wonderful actor in the 40s.
My Three Sons.
And Fred McMurray
yes.
heard that I had never been invited to a Hollywood party. This is during Cagney and Lacey.
Wow.
And my publicist calls me and said, Sharon, Fred McMurray heard you say that and he wants to invite you to a Hollywood party.
Wow. How sweet is that?
And there could be big, 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 big old stars from that era there. And current people, you know. And I said, well, I'd love him to please have him call me. So he called me. And he said, Sharon, it's Fred McMurray. And I heard that you don't go to parties and you're not invited to parties. My wife and I would like to invite you to a big Hollywood party where there are going to be a lot of people that you watched when you were young.
Wow.
Bro, I was so terrified that I wouldn't have anything to say to anybody that I lied and said I had to be in New York. And I sat home.
Oh, no.
I Glessy. Sat home.
That's a heartbreaker.
Yeah. I sat home and I never went to the party. I've never been to a Hollywood party. And I can't believe Fred McMurray did that. And I said no. And I could tell he was really disappointed because it was the heyday of Cagney and Lacey. So everybody in the room were fans.
Right.
You know, so
right.
The truth was they wanted me in the room as much as I did, you know, and I was too afraid.
Which is hard to take into your head, right?
Yeah.
It's hard to imagine that those people that you grew up admiring would want to talk to
would
you.
Would want to talk to me.
I feel the same way.
Oh, bull. Come on.
Glessy, you know what? Let me tell you the truth. I presented twice at the Academy Awards.
Uh-huh.
Or I was a guest of Richard Dreyfuss once, and I presented once. And both times, I left as soon as I was done and went back to the Four Seasons and opened my swag bag with one of the cleaning ladies and gave her half the stuff, you know? And I never went to the after parties. I've never been. Like, even when I hosted the Grammys and I hosted the Tonys, I didn't go to the party afterwards. I went home.
Well, fuck, me too.
I had kids. I was like, what am I going to say at parties, you know? I don't do well in those kind of social situations. It gives me nothing but anxiety, you know? So I really haven't been to any either. I mean, listen, I've been to dinner at Madonna's or at Madonna's New Year's Eve party. That's a pretty big Hollywood party.
It sure is.
Right? But I also would feel like, you know, where are the kids? Can I go hang out with your kids, you know?
Yeah.
Like, I felt more at ease than around, like, oh, my God, Lenny Kravitz is there. Oh, my God, Diana Ross. Like, it boggled my mind, you know? It never became my life. I never wanted my life to be that. I always knew I had to stay grounded in the reality of who I am from my childhood. It's either I knew that I had to or I wouldn't allow myself. I don't know why. I really don't know why.
I guess I wouldn't allow it. I just thought nobody would find me interesting. I know people find my characters interesting. I'm very proud of the characters I've played. But it's, you know, hiding in plain sight. That's the actor's thing.
Right.
You hide in plain sight. You hide in these characters. And I play big characters. You know, I play...
Yes, you sure do. Emmy award-winning roles, I might add.
Yes. Thank you.
I've never seen your Emmys in your house. Do you know
well,
that?
Come classic? On over. My husband has the bad taste to have them on display, the Emmys and the Golden Globes, in our living room. I was raised in Hancock Park in L.A. You didn't even have a photo in the living room.
Right.
Now there are all these things here, but it's nice.
I loved a story in your book, apparently there were complaints, where you talk about you did a play and there happened to be someone in the audience and there was a wardrobe malfunction.
Yes.
And it kind of launched your career.
I'm so glad you brought that up because that is an example of I had a dream.
Right.
Remember, I'm flying over LA. I had a dream and I looked down and I don't care. I don't know how it's going to happen because I'm not a beauty, you know?
Now, Glessy, can we talk about that? Just stop. You always say this, that you're not a beauty. You are a stunning beauty, and you always have been.
Well, I do.
Seriously, you don't think of yourself that way?
No, not at all. I think my youth, there were times I've seen photos of me, and I'm going, wow, you were pretty. But it's always a surprise. Someone gave me one of those frames that flips pictures constantly.
Yes, yes. I love those.
Yeah, and we've got filled up. And there are pictures popping up in that where I'm going, whoa, I back up. I can't say a bit.
Yes.
Can't believe that's me.
Yeah.
And I'm glad I have them because I'm glad to be proved wronged, you know?
Sure.
I'm sorry I didn't realize it at the time.
Yes.
I didn't get to enjoy it, but I don't care. Wait, you had asked me something. Oh, about going to the play and making a mistake.
Yes, tell the play story.
Okay, this is part of having a dream. I made a terrible mistake in my very first play. It only ran two nights. We didn't charge anybody. It was terrible. But it was the first time I'd ever been given anything. And I played the heroine. It was a play within a play, a campy heroine. And I missed my cue. I played this nurse with the long nurse's outfit. Mm-hmm. And I missed my fucking cue. And I had my costume off. I didn't know what to do. So I ran on stage with my costume half off, just so I could say my line on cue, not throw off the other actors. Well, it looked like I, the nurse, had just been raped by my patient backstage. The house fell apart. They thought I was some genius comedian. And the man the next Monday called me at my office where I was the secretary and said, I saw you in your little play. He said, I think you'd be perfect for the lead in John Cassavetes' new film, and I'd like you to meet Monique James, the head of our talent department. I said, okay, cut the bullshit. Who is this?
Wow. Wow.
He said, yeah, and he wrote Monique James, and I've seen the letter saying she's a new blonde comedian. It was the paperwork he sent out. It was a mistake. I just screwed up. He thought I was a brilliant comedian whose timing was impeccable.
Right. And did you ever meet Cassavetes for that role?
Never did, no.
No.
But I did meet Monique James. And I did a scene for her, and she signed me for 7 years that night.
Wow. Turn your whole life around? Change your whole world?
Yes, I said, thank you so much, and I went and threw up.
Mm.
And I'm not a person who does that.
Right.
But I was in such shock, and my dream had come true. It's not like I thought she was wrong.
Right.
Do you know what I mean?
I do know.
I wouldn't argue with her. It's just, oh my God.
How did this happen?
I'm under contract to the biggest television studio in the world, and I haven't been in front of a camera.
Right.
So it was that dream. You don't know how it's going to appear, but you do need to know how you're going to feel.
Right. And how did you feel?
I was so excited. I was supposed to have every Thursday, I had dinner with my grandfather. And I was so excited, I forgot about him. I left him stranded at dinner. And he was so furious. He wasn't talking to me. And so I said, please, you know, Grandpa, give me another chance. I got this contract. And so he agreed to see me the next evening. And I brought my contract with me, you know. And I said, Grandpa, they're only offering me $186 a week. I make $200 a week as the secretary. He said, let me see this. I said, do you know Lou Wasserman? He said, I know him very well. Let me see it. And then he said, Sharon, do you want to be an actress? Yes, Grandpa. Then sign it.
Right.
But I thought actresses made a lot of money. And he said, Sharon, you have to be coming from a position of power from which to negotiate. You are not.
Smart man.
Sign it, and let's see where you are next year.
That's good.
And he died. He never saw me on film.
What was your first role that you got after signing that contract?
At Universal, there's one show that always gives a new contract player their first part. You don't even have to read for it. It's Marcus Welby, and they let every new actor have a part on their show so you can get your Screen Actors Guild card.
How wonderful.
Yeah. So the first one I did was a Marcus Welby. Do you remember Elena Verdugo?
Was she on Marcus Welby?
She played the nurse. She played,
yes, I do.
She played Consuelo, the nurse. I lost a wallet when I was a kid. I was a little teenager, and I lost a wallet, and I got it sent to me in my boarding school, and it said Eve Verdugo. Well, Elena Verdugo was known in those days, and I opened it, and it was from Elena. So when I got back from boarding school, I went to her apartment, and I thanked her for sending me my wallet. And there I am sitting next to her years and years later on the Marcus Welby set. I said, do you remember the little girl who lost her wallet?
Wow.
I said, well, I am she.
Wow, that's wild. That is wild.
I know.
I never missed Marcus Welby, MD, with Josh Brolin, right? Or what's his name? Jim Brolin.
That's
it's
right.
It's the Streisand hubby.
I know. Well, then I was asked to come back on Marcus Welby a couple of years later and play his love interest. And I just tanked.
Really?
I was so, there was nothing between us. Nothing. And I got fired. That's all right.
No chemistry.
We had no chemistry. It wasn't, he was nice. You know, he was all right. And we just, nothing.
Kind of like your date with Steven Spielberg. Nothing.
I know. I wasn't his type.
Right.
But he was a nice man. He didn't talk to me much on the date.
They put you together just like they would. They would link people up and say, you guys go out to dinner.
It was like a photo opportunity, I guess. You know, one of those things where he needed a date for the very first, oh, it's that big night. Anyway, John Ford was the first honoree. And he needed a date, I guess. And so my picture was sent, a lot of pictures from Universal were sent to Richard Zanuck over at 20th.
Mm.
And Zanuck looked at all the photos and he picked me. So they dressed me up in black velvet coat and he came to pick me up and it was black tie. And he opened up his tuxedo and had a Roadrunner t-shirt on. He says, beep, beep. It's the first thing he ever said to me.
Did you ever see him after? Have you seen him since?
Never saw him again. I mean, I've seen him in passing. I saw him at a party like 10 years, 15 years later. I went over to him and I said, Stephen, hi, I'm Sherry Glessa. It's so nice to see you. I wondered what had ever happened to you in the industry, you know, if you'd ever made it. I did.
Poor guy. Just needs a break.
He was a nice man. It just, there was no chemistry.
Right.
As if there was no chemistry with James Brolin, I had a hard time hooking me up, man.
Right, which is hard to believe, but...
It's true.
You have a wonderful kind of spiritual belief life. You have a metaphysical perspective on the world, your life, manifesting things. You have always studied this. When did that begin? Ever since I've known you, 30 years now, you've been...
Well, it was before Cagney and Lacey. Yeah, it was almost 40 years. You're absolutely right. My foray into spirituality was my best friend Judith Ann and I used to do the Ouija board. That was our big foray into spirituality.
Me and Jackie too. We did it.
Yeah, exactly. God knows what we were bringing in, but that thing did fly without our touching it.
Yes.
You know, spirits do appear, but they're probably not the level that you would want hanging out with you. So then we heard about this metaphysical teacher, friend named Lazarus. So when we had to interview to get into his class, and I didn't get accepted, but Judith Ann did. And then I was told that Lazarus, who was the teacher, felt that I wasn't ready. So he wanted Judith Ann to go before me. So she came back and she called me. And I mean, she and I are just trouble, you know, we're fun.
Right.
And she very seriously said, Sharon, Marguerite, it's going to change your life.
Mm.
Whoa. Okay. So I got on a plane to go have my life changed. All right.
Right.
And it was not hard, but it was, I understood what he was saying. I just wanted to believe it was true.
Right.
That I do it, you know?
Right. Right.
When we're children, we can blame all kinds of people. But, you know, as an adult, he said, it's you. You get to do it. And after a while, I believed him, and it became exciting because you know what, Ro? I could stop blaming.
Right.
I could stop blaming my grandmother, who you'll read about in my book.
Yes, I did.
And I was so relieved that I could let her off the hook.
Mm.
I'm an adult now.
Right. Onward, honey.
From now on, it's my ride. It's my...
Exactly.
Either I choose to create it or not. And if I don't get what I want, then I have to sort of look at what it is that is the payoff for me to not get it.
Right.
I don't mean to be lecturing you or anything. That's just...
It's not a lecture at all. I find it fascinating. I really do. And I think it's kept you so centered in your life and your beliefs. I know you've been through some tremendous loss. I know your best friend, Judith, that you speak of, she passed away. And how do you survive that? Now that I'm going to be 61 and I've had my best friend, Jackie, since I'm 3, and we're like fused at the hip, and I can't imagine what will happen when one of us goes for the other one, you know?
Well, I think time, first of all, is the great healer. But you two have to have an understanding and a knowledge that you are always together.
Right.
One of you may go before the other, but it doesn't mean they're going to leave you.
Because
I believe you can call her in.
Yeah.
I believe she will always be there for you.
Yeah, she always has.
If in the physical form, you or her, you will always be together.
How old were you when you met Judith? You were a kid?
Birth.
They
put us in a crib together. She's a month older than I am, and our parents were best friends. And we were, you know, born a month apart, and so they put us in a crib together. As I said at her funeral, I fell in love, and I never recovered.
Mm.
She was mean to me sometimes, but I didn't care. I just took it because I did love her.
And you were estranged at the end, I remember, right?
We were, but it got rough. She got cancer, and she did some stuff that wasn't nice. But she fought 10 years with that cancer.
Right.
And the day that she heard from the doctor that the fight was over, you know, there was no hope.
Right.
She came to lunch with me, and she leaned over, and she whispered in my ear, because her daughter was present, and my niece, Bridget, you know, Bridgie.
Yep.
And she said, "I'm sorry, I can't keep my promise to grow old with you."
Ah.
And I thought, what I say now is really important.
Mm.
And I turned to her, this was 20 years ago, and I said, "I think 60 years is a fucking good run, don't you?"
Yeah.
And she lit up and she said, "It is. It is.
It is." You don't fear dying for yourself, do you?
No.
No.
But I'd like to do it in bed. You know, I don't want to be hit by a truck. You
right.
know, I'd like to do it peacefully and with people I love. You know, I know I'm in an age, but I think I'm going to live forever. But I know I should be saying to all the people I love the things that I want to say to them at the end. But I don't. But it's morbid to go around and saying, "Listen, if I never get a chance to tell you."
Yeah.
But, Ro, if I never get a chance to tell you, I love you and you have changed my life. I'm saying that to you, Rosie O'Donnell.
Well, thank you, Sharon Glass. You've done the same for me.
Oh, thank you.
You have a wonderful way of keeping close and connected to the people you love. You fall in love and you don't fall out.
I don't. I'm still in love with you.
Well, ditto, honey. Right back at you.
Thanks.
I'm not kidding. It's been since I saw you on Cagney and Lacey. I was sitting in Comac, Long Island on the Levitt's plaid brown couch with a TV that had a broken turn signal. And we had wires from the hangers to make to make it come in good. Like, it shocks me, you know? And everybody I know, all the girls who were on the softball team and the basketball team, they only had eyes for Glessie. They did not care for Mary Beth Lacey. Just let me tell you right now, the men all were in love with Tino, and all the lesbians wanted you.
Yeah.
Oh, should we tell the story as we go?
Sure, if you want me to. I don't mind. It's in the book.
Go ahead.
I'll tell. Okay. Ro and I had been friends. Ro came to do Queer as Folk with us, and we got really close.
Yes.
And then you invited me on those cruises, and our relationship just kept blossoming and blossoming. And I don't know what happened, but you just loved me for who I was. I had this dream about you one night, and we were really, really, like really, really close, intimate friends, and you're Rosie O'Donnell. And in my dream, it was like, I know, but you know, in my dream, it was like,
yeah.
I love her so much. And I've never had a friend like this ever. This was in my dream. And the next night, you and I were having dinner, and I told you that I had this dream and that how much I really did love you. And did you think maybe that you and I could, you know?
Yeah.
And before I finished the sentence, you were nice enough to say, "Oh, Glessie. You are so straight. Stop it."
It's true. You're so straight.
I said, "Mean you don't think?"
No, I don't think. Although I wished for many years you would be gay, you
but
know,
it
truthfully.
Took such nerve. You got to know. It took such nerve to say that to you.
But you just laughed, honey. You just laughed. I told you a joke. I said, "Hey, if you've only taken the George Washington Bridge into New York City, there's no reason to try the Holland Tunnel." And you were like, you started laughing, and then it was over. But listen, I've told everyone that story, and I don't let it, I don't let it get rusty in my bed.
I proudly tell it. I misunderstood, but I still love you very much.
I love you too, honey, and you're the best. And the book, apparently, there have been complaints. It's very good title, and it's a wonderful book. And I love any little morsel of information I can get about you and who you are in real life is as glorious as you are as an actress. And I'm proud to know you, Glessie.
Thank you. Do you want to know how the title happened?
Yeah. Tell me. Tell me how the title happened.
Because during Cagney and Lacey, I was playing a drunk, first famous drunk on television.
Right.
And we found out that Sharon's a drunk. So I was being accused anyway. So I checked into rehab. And it was a big scandal. The press really went after it. And I was locked up in there. What is it, 28-day program? I was there for 7 weeks.
Mm.
Just terrible press. And when I got out, a friend of mine said, oh, you were in Hazleton? It's the Harvard of the rehabs, you know.
Yeah.
I said, yeah, I was. She said, why were you in Hazleton? And I just came out of my mouth. I said, apparently there were complaints. And Barney laughed, and I started laughing, and it's always been anything about me is apparently there were complaints. Sometimes I miss it.
Well, honey, I have no complaints about you.
I love you.
I have zero.
Thank you.
In the 30 years of loving you, I have zero complaints.
I love you too.
There you go.
Thank you for having me on your show.
Thank you for doing this. This is the very first one. You broke my little virgin cherry.
I got your
there.
Cherry.
You finally yes. did it, Glessie. There you go.
Are you on the hunt for a new home this spring, but don't know where to start? Fisher Homes is your solution. Your new home should reflect you from the front door to the kitchen and even your outdoor space. Start your journey by selecting your ideal home site, like in a cul-de-sac or that's tree-lined, and then choose from a variety of expertly designed floor plans. Bring it all together at our Lifestyle Design Center. Let Fisher Homes be your new home solution this spring and start making memories at fisherhomes.com.
We went from normal life, healthy child to acute lymphoblastic leukemia or B-cell ALL. The St. Jude team came up to get CJ via ambulance. Shortly after that, I noticed a rainbow. It meant that there was hope. We were driving into hope. To have hope is to have your child healthy. And we have that because of St. Jude.
You can help kids fight childhood cancer. Please become a St. Jude Partner in Hope today by visiting musicgives.org.
Had enough of those supplements that leave you feeling nothing? Symbionica is your solution to great-tasting, all-natural supplements that actually work. Crafted with premium plant-based ingredients, their products have no seed oils, fillers, or toxins. Try them out and actually feel the difference today. Visit Symbionica.com and use code IHEART for 15% off plus free shipping on your subscription order. Again, that's 15% off plus free shipping on your subscription order. Go to Symbionica.com. C-Y-M-B-I-O. TIKA.com.
And now it's time for some questions that you guys have sent in.
Hi, Rosie. This is Tinker Mazel. And first of all, I want to tell you happy birthday.
Thank you.
I think it's cool that you're giving us a birthday present on your birthday today.
That's very sweet.
Congrats on your podcast.
Thank you very much.
I wanted to ask you if you were friends with Kirstie Alley, and if you were, could you tell us a little bit about your friendship with her? Thanks.
Thank you so much. Thanks for your questions and comments, and keep them coming. I wasn't really friendly with Kirstie Alley. I got to know her a little bit when my show was first on. She talked to me a little bit about Scientology and was very interested in that. Now, I have other friends like Tom Cruise who has never brought it up to me once. You know, there are other people that I know who are in Scientology, and Kirstie was one who brought it up to me. So we never really connected, I think, on that level, which might have been, you know, disappointing to her. I can't really speak for her, but, you know, she was such a talented actress and she was so funny on Cheers and such a character and great on game shows and a talk show guest. You know, she was really wonderful. I didn't get to know her very well, but I did name my son Parker after her husband, her first husband, Parker Stevenson. So there's my Kirstie Alley connection, but love to her family and friends. That was a woman gone too soon and
gosh, so quickly. I remain your host, Rosie O'Donnell. Thank you all for tuning in to this premiere episode. I really do appreciate it. Every Tuesday, we're going to drop a new one. Next week, Rory Kennedy. Please watch her documentary, Volcano, Rescue at Fakari. And it's on Netflix, and it's totally worth watching. It'll uplift your spirits and remind you of how resilient humans are. It's beautiful. And Rory Kennedy will be our guest next week here on Onward. Thank you, everybody. I really appreciate it. And I'm going to have myself a great birthday. Hey, on TikTok, at Rosie. On Twitter, at Rosie. At Instagram, at Rosie. And right here on iHeart. Onward with Rosie O'Donnell.
Are you on the hunt for a new home this spring, but don't know where to start? Fisher Homes is your solution. Your new home should reflect you, from the front door to the kitchen and even your outdoor space. Start your journey by selecting your ideal home site, like in a cul-de-sac or that's tree-lined, and then choose from a variety of expertly designed floor plans. Bring it all together at our Lifestyle Design Center. Let Fisher Homes be your new home solution this spring and start making memories at fisherhomes.com.
You know that feeling when you walk into your home, take a deep breath, and feel new? Well, that's what it's like to use Clorox Scentiva. Because Clorox Scentiva smells like coconut, cleans like Clorox, and feels like energy. It'll elevate any cleaning routine to not just clean, but also make every room smell like a tropical coconut getaway. Discover how Clorox Scentiva's powerful clean and refreshing scents can transform your space. Get yours in coconut or other fabulous scents at a nearby retail store.
Hey guys, back at the playground again, huh?
Yep. You know what this playground could use? A wine country.
Heck yeah, and some waves so we could go surfing.
Oh, yeah. Ah, love that.
A redwood forest would be cool.
I'm in.
Ah, ski slopes.
Let's do it.
Can a girl go shopping?
Yeah, baby.
Wait! Did we just invent California?
Discover why California is the ultimate playground at visitcalifornia.com.